You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to this episode of the Daily Vet Life podcast, where we chat with equine veterinarians about the cases they've worked on in their clinics. I'm your host, Alex Beckstedt, editorial director of Equimanagement, and today I'm speaking with Dr. Brittany Middlebrooks about a teenaged barren mare that presented for breeding management. This episode of the Daily Vet Life podcast is brought to you by DECRA. Dr. Middlebrooks is a practitioner in reproduction and fertility at Haggard Equine Medical Institute in Lexington, Kentucky. She grew up in Greenville, South Carolina, and completed her undergraduate at Clemson University. After graduation, she began working at a small animal clinic where her love for veterinary medicine grew. Dr. Middlebrooks attended veterinary school at Ross University School of Veterinary Medicine on the island of St. Kitts, where she also earned her master's degree studying immunocontraceptives in Caribbean donkeys. She completed her clinical year at UC Davis, where she stayed on for an equine field service internship, then went to Colorado State University for a residency in equine theriogenology. She completed her residency and became a diplomat of the American College of Theriogenologists in July 2024. In her spare time, Dr. Middlebrooks enjoys running, traveling, horseback riding, trying new restaurants, and being outdoors with her husband and their three dogs. Thank you, Dr. Middlebrooks, for joining us today.
Awesome. Hi. Thank you, Alex. I really appreciate you for having me on. And I'm really excited to chat with everyone today about this particular mare. Admittedly, I have gotten quite attached to her. She's taught me a lot. And overall, we're really happy with how she's doing right now. So excited to talk more about her.
Awesome. Well, I am excited to hear about this case. And as mentioned in your bio, you work in the heart of Kentucky horse country, which has a high population of breeding stock, a large number of repro cases that probably come through the doors there at Haggard. So you've had a lot of experience with, I'm sure, with subfertility and mare management, among other things. But for this case, could you just start by giving us some background about this mare and how she first presented?
Definitely. Yep. And yes, you're exactly right. So being here in central Kentucky, it has truly been a dream come true because we see a bit of everything, whether they're coming into the clinic or we're going out into the field and seeing them. And we have such a great population of horses here, really wonderful farm managers, horse owners. So it's been really good. But with that, you know, like I said, then we have kind of a bit of everything. We have each end of the spectrum. We have those normal mares or normal stallions. And then you do get the opposite end of that, where it's truly the once in a lifetime cases, the stuff that you may only read about like in a textbook or journal article or something like that. But the mare that I wanted to talk about today really kind of falls in the middle of that. So she's not on either end of the spectrum there. She's really that mare that everyone really may see throughout their normal breeding season. So yes, she is a teenage warm blood mare owned by a family that lives out of state, but is managed by a wonderful show facility just down the road from us. And in prior years, the mare had had TVA or transvaginal aspiration done, so to collect oocytes or eggs that were then sent out for the ICSI procedure. And ultimately, I think they sent maybe something like 18 oocytes, and not a single one of those turned into an embryo, unfortunately. So no luck that go around. And then they tried to actually breed her to let her carry her own foal. And she was bred twice that season. She got pregnant once, but unfortunately lost that pregnancy between her 15-day check and her 28-day check. And then I believe the next cycle she was bred and possibly treated around the time of breeding. So we just got a phone call into the clinic one day saying, hey, can you go out and take a look at my mare? This is her history. Go take a peek at her and see what we can do. So after I evaluated her the first time, I spoke with owner and really asked, hey, I would like to go through some different layers of diagnostics and find out maybe if we have a uterine infection going on, see if we can kind of get to the bottom of what went wrong previous attempts at getting her in foal or just getting a baby from her. So yeah, that's kind of where we started with her. I did indeed get the go-ahead to go through our multiple layers of diagnostics. So when I saw her, she was in diestrus. We gave her a shot of prostaglandins to short cycle her. And then once she was back in heat, we took an initial uterine lavage that we submitted for culture and cytology. I then infused acetylcysteine on her to hopefully act as a mucolytic agent, maybe break down a bit of a biofilm there. And then I did another culture and cytology on her the next day. Okay. After I did that, I infused a dilute hydrogen peroxide to, again, maybe break up some sort of biofilm, and then did another uterine lavage with culture and cytology on her the next day. So there's lots of layers of diagnostics there, which is a lengthy endeavor, and it's not an inexpensive endeavor either, but it can really kind of give us an idea of what we're dealing with and kind of how we can then make her treatment plan moving forward. That mare grew two different bacteria, one that popped up after the culture, on the culture after we infused acetylcysteine, and then another bacteria that popped up on the culture that was post-dilute peroxide infusion. And so that kind of told me, hey, we got some stuff that was hiding, and now we need to figure out how to treat that. So I initially had wanted to treat her for a full 5 days of uterine lavages and broad spectrum antibiotics to cover a gram negative and a gram positive bacteria. But the mare had different plans for me and said, my cervix will not be adequately dilated throughout all of this, and you're going to have to figure out what to do. And so instead of getting 5 days of lavages and treatments in, I think I got a total of 4 days of treatments. Two of those were lavages and intrauterine antibiotics, and then the other two were just intrauterine antibiotics. But that's what the mare said, and so that's what we went with. I was concerned about her hanging on to fluid if I continued to lavage her more than what she was saying that she needed, and I suspected that she had some issues with delayed uterine clearance, which is maybe how we got to this point, because she also had some evidence of chronic inflammation on those cytologies that we got back.
Calling all equine veterinarians. Are you tired of feeling like you're on an island when it comes to caring for your patients? Decra Veterinary Products is here to bridge that gap. They understand the challenges you face. That's why they offer a comprehensive line of high-quality products like Zycosan and Osphos, and empower you to offer your patients cutting-edge therapies like ProVet APC. They're not just a supplier, though. Decra provides ongoing training and support to help you stay ahead of the curve and deliver the best possible care. Visit www.decra-us.com to discover how Decra can be your partner in equine health.
So that was step one with her. And then moving on to step two, after getting her cleaned up, was to hopefully then, you know, come back and see her when she's in heat and do another culture and cytology on her. And hopefully it would say, hey, you have adequately treated this bacterial endometritis and you can carry on. Well, she then didn't seem to cycle normally. She maybe hemorrhaged a follicle or maybe popped off like a mid-diastral follicle. She wasn't right. So at that point, other things that we added in for her was some of the Platinum Vet Repro, maybe just to help her, you know, overall health, help her follicular health, her oocyte quality. Also with that history of oocytes not making embryos with that ICSI procedure. So we started her on that. And then we just said, we got to give her some time to kind of figure out what she's doing and not push her along. So yeah, had some conversations with her wonderful owner and said, I don't want to push her. I don't want to try and short cycle her. I need her to come back in on her own and make sure she's clean. And then I needed her to continue cycling normally then for us to get her bred. And her owner was just wonderful. She said, we're not on a certain time frame here. My dream is just to get this mare pregnant. So that was really nice to hear. I feel like a lot of times we're under time constraints.
Yeah.
And it was nice to hear from someone that said, hey, it's okay. Let's, you know, you want to do it right. I want to do it right. Let's take the time to make that happen. So yeah, that was just lots of visits with her to see when she would start cycling again and seem to have a normal cycle, which she ultimately did that next time around. And we were able to come back in and get a uterine culture and cytology on her, which came back. Culture was negative with no growth of bacteria. And her cytology was pretty unremarkable and no evidence of ongoing inflammation. So super happy with that. At that time, Myself and the owners had been really talking about using cooled shipped semen for this mare. She's an older mare. We weren't going to have too many goes at her. I really wanted to try and really set her up for success. And so using cooled shipped semen versus frozen semen, I thought we would have a better chance at achieving a pregnancy. Unfortunately, that stallion is located overseas that they wanted to breed to.
Of course.
So there was no way we were getting cooled shipped semen. And I was like, are you sure there's not any other stallions here that you'd be interested in? Because we would really love to go with the cooled shipped semen. And I mean, that owner was incredible. She was like, yo, let us think about it. You know, let us see if there's any stallions locally that we would like to go to. And so, you know, I said, it's fine. We're giving the mare time. We're letting her do her thing. She's clean. She's tidied up. She's ready to go. We just need to let her cycle on her own and we'll get to her. And this was giving us her a little bit longer of a time to be on that Platinum Vet Repro as well, which was great. Touch base again. And they said, you know, really the dream cross here is that stallion that's located overseas. So we want to go with frozen semen. I said, all right, like, let's do it. We just have to know that with frozen semen, our pregnancy rates may not be what we would expect with cooled ship semen, live cover, fresh semen, that sort of thing. Very understanding. And they said, let's just give it a go. Breed her when you think is right, and we'll see what we get. And I'm not going to lie to you, Alex, I was very stressed for like the next 2 weeks because I'd already worked so hard on her earlier and we'd already taken so much time to let her, you know, do things on her own.
Right.
It was June and we started working on her early April, which I know is only April, May, June, you know, two and a half months time, but that's a lot of time in the breeding world, right?
So right.
At least it feels like it. It's not in the grand scheme of things, but it certainly feels like it and it's tough. So I kept going back and forth on, because I think the next time I looked at her, she was in diastasis, and I kept going back and forth. Do I let her come in on her own? Do I short cycle her? What do we do? I'm not really sure, you know, went back and forth on that. And I was like, okay, let's see if I can take a little bit of control of this cycle. She ovulated normally the previous time. Let's see if we can control it from here. So short cycled her. Followed her along, got her into the clinic then for her frozen semen breeding, just because we then watch them more closely. So that way we can document ovulation and breed them within 6 hours of ovulation. We had, I think we had two doses on her, but I didn't want to use the two doses just with her being an older mare. Her cervix didn't dilate as nicely as I would like it to. So I was worried if I bred her with the first dose that we would have a lot of inflammation happening. And then I wouldn't be thrilled to put that second dose in her. So we had two doses, I believe. But we said, let's only go with the one. And yeah, she came into the clinic, gave me some mixed signals whether she was going to ovulate on time or not. And she did exactly what she was supposed to do. Ovulated right on time, bred her very shortly after ovulation, did a post-breeding lavage on her and infused some platelet-rich plasma just to help with some ongoing inflammation that I was worried about could happen. So one to help with uterine clearance, wanted to help with inflammation. So did that post-breeding lavage, that infusion of platelet-rich plasma. We also started her on Equiox. And started her on aspirin as well, again, to help with some inflammation, maybe help with some uterine blood flow. I was worried with her being an older mare, having chronic inflammation, did she also possibly have some fibrosis or scarring that maybe I wouldn't see unless we scoped her or did a uterine biopsy or something like that. So did all of those things. And lo and behold, 14 days later, we had a pregnancy and it was a little small, but it was there. So that was step one, right? She's gotten pregnant before though. So we need to make sure that she's going to keep this pregnancy. Yeah. So I was very excited. I think I almost started crying, like standing in this barn, and there's no one else there. Like the farm folks there were phenomenal. They would just let me show up, grab the mare from the field, do what I needed to do, and then carry on with my day. But yes, I think I almost started crying just because we had been working on her just for quite some time and we're really trying to, you know, let the mare tell us what to do. I was concerned about it being frozen semen. You know, are we going to get it? But the stars aligned, and we got that pregnancy, and continued the mare on her Equioxx and aspirin. What else did we do for her? Oh, one thing I did not mention, we did do a Caslic on her. The mare did not have a Caslic previously, and just looking at her, she would maybe not be one that you would necessarily put one in, but you know, with her having the history of infection with the type of bacteria that she had, she was a little just, you know, just not right enough, I guess. And that's just something very basic that we can do, and it's easy to do. And so we did put a Caslic in her. I think I tacked her down a smidge more at that first or second pregnancy check. And then, yep, we carried on, and I just checked her earlier this week at her 152-day scan, gave her first pneumobort vaccine. And so we are keeping our fingers crossed and hoping we can make it to, you know, 340 some odd days and get a live foal on the ground. So yeah, she was a good case. Like I said, not one that's the once in a lifetime case that you're gonna see, but she is the type of mare that I think every vet will have one of those mares a season, at least one, you know, if
Yeah.
not one.
It sounds like this owner, is she just trying to get one amazing foal out of this mare, or does she has aspirations to continue breeding her even though she's older?
Great question. I think we do have, she does have the aspirations of getting this, at least this foal. But I think if things go well with this pregnancy, we could continue on breeding her or possibly consider flushing embryos on her and using recipient mares.
So what's her prognosis for successful future pregnancies?
You know, I think as long as foaling goes well and we manage her well post-foaling, I think our prognosis is good. I think she's a mare that's in great shape. She's been very, very well taken care of. We've done the previous clinic had done, you know, metabolic testing, things like that on her, PPID testing, and that all came back negative. So overall, I think the mare's in great condition. So I think as long as we manage her appropriately, I don't see why she couldn't carry another foal.
Oh, great. Well, it sounds like you have a great owner here who's willing to do everything right by the horse, take her time, et cetera. But how do you typically manage client expectations in cases like this, particularly challenging fertility cases?
That's a great question. And I think one of the reasons, too, I wanted to talk about this case is because this owner was so incredible. And I think we just had a really great open line of communication that she was able to tell me her goals, and I was able to be upfront with her about concerns that I had. You know, updating her each step of the way, I think, was also really helpful. So setting client expectations, I think, is very important from the get-go. You know, telling them what you see on those first initial exams, outlining a plan, but then also saying, you know, this is what we're going to do based off of what I'm seeing right now. But trying to set the owner up and like yourself up and the mare up for success and knowing that that plan could change. Because I feel like with a lot of things, but especially repro, we like to have a recipe for everything. Okay, yep, the mare has this. We're going to go in and do X, Y, and Z. And that's it. She's going to get pregnant and we're going to be good to go. And sure, that happens, you know, in the normal mare, that's what happens, right? That's what happens the majority of the time. But trying to have that open dialogue and those initial communications that say, hey, this is the plan for now, but that could change. And so all of us need to be ready to pivot. Yeah. So like the owner needs to be ready to pivot. I need to be ready to pivot, that sort of thing.
And kind of building off that, what other advice would you give veterinarians or even horse owners that might be managing similar cases?
I think the advice I would have for horse owners, for veterinarians is being open to pivoting and different ideas and that sort of thing. Also, just really listening to the horse, really listening to your mare. Owners, farm managers, those are the people that are with these mares day in and day out, and they know those mares. And then if you can find your veterinarian and make a really great relationship with them, your veterinarian also learns those mares, you know, and starts to understand them you know, from the inside out. And so I think that that is huge. And then just, yeah, being able to listen to the mayor from the vet side of things, from the owner side of things, and say, let's do right by the horse. And if she is telling us, or he, if it's a stallion situation, if they're telling us that we need to do something different, that is okay. Let's figure out together how we can do things differently. I think that's a big thing too, doing things together, right? Like right. We're a team. The vet's a team. The owner's a team. If the farm manager is different than the owner, you know, we're all a team here and we all have the same goal. And so let's make our goals clear from the beginning. Let's do right by the horse. And hopefully at the end, we can get a pregnancy. And also then keeping in mind too, I guess at the same aspect, we can only control biology so much.
Right.
There's only so much we can do, right? We can do all of these things and still not have success. And then who knows, maybe the next round, you don't do anything. And you have great success. So it's just, yeah, keeping that in the back of your mind too. We can only do so much.
I know. Yes.
Which is hard, right? Because we want to do the things and get the results. I think owners, farm managers, vets, that's what we want to do. We want to get the results and we just do the best we can.
So. Yeah. Well, I'm crossing all my fingers and toes for the rest of her pregnancy and a healthy foal.
Yes.
And maybe we can get an update from you in the spring.
Yes. I'm hopeful that I'll have like some really great pictures. Yes. We'll see where she falls out. She may fall out here in Kentucky. She may head down to some warmer weather, but I'm right there with you. Hoping for a really healthy foal and a happy mama, a happy mare, and a happy owner as well.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Middlebrooks, for coming on today and sharing this mare's journey with us. It was very interesting.
Yes, of course. We have lots of them. So if anyone ever has any questions, feel free to reach out, give us a call. We're always, always happy to talk about these mares, like I said, that you're going to see them every season. And then, you know, even some of those odd, you know, more odd cases, let us know. We're always interested to hear about them. So,
well, that's great. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And thanks as well to our listeners for tuning in. And thank you to our sponsor, DECRA.